Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former blockoff has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's. We are downtown. We are on Jefferson, and this is a great place to be as the Blues prep for a big Game 3 at the Enterprise Center. Last night, Matt Rocchio, we actually did a food picks with the great people at Maggie O'Brien's, and we brought back a little bit of food to Channel 5. You saw me leaving. Yeah, okay.
A little bit.
But so anyway, it's about 8 o'clock. I get a spare 15 minutes, and I remember I gave most of the stuff to the editors and the photographers because I want a good food picks. They're going to edit it really well if they're well fed. It's the only way to get to these guys. But I saved this one thing for myself, and I had it last night. It's called the Old Hennessy.
Ooh.
It's a fried chicken breast, deep fried, served on toast, and it's topped with lemon butter sauce and cheeses, a mixture of cheeses. And I'm telling you, this is one of the best things I've ever eaten. If you are going to come down to the game, stop by Maggie O'Brien's first and try the Old Hennessy. It was outstanding. What did you have yesterday?
Oh, my gosh, I can't even count all the things I had. I mean, the Reuben rolls, I got some fish and chips at the end of the night. At one point, they brought us out one of their amazing burgers, cut it into four, so I got a chunk of a burger. Their toasted ravs, which are killer. Today, I'm probably going to go a little bit more classic. I'm going to get the salmon with those Irish potatoes they have.
Oh, yeah,
those red potatoes with the garlic and the oil. My favorite thing about that is, I don't know if it's the same thing as the sauce that you get, but they put this, like, clarified butter on the salmon.
Oh,
it's killing.
Yeah, I've
it's
had the salmon here.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Alicia's here. She kind of is a manager and does a little bit of everything here. So come on by and say hello. We'll be here till, is it 1 o'clock today or is it 3?
3, and we're doing the ticket giveaway again. So come on
down.
Oh,
yeah.
So we're still giving those away, the tickets.
So how do they do it?
For tonight, come on down. That gets you one entry. If you're in Blues gear, that gets you a second entry. And if you go ahead and put a post on Facebook or Twitter tagging both Maggie O'Brien's and 590, you get a third entry into the drawing. And we'll draw that at 3 p.m. today for tonight's game. It's the Bud Light Party Zone, which means free food and drinks and a great seat all game. Can't beat that for Game 3.
That's terrific. All right, we have a good guest list today. Chris Kerber is going to join us at 10:30 from the Enterprise Center. Probably, or arguably, maybe Bill McDermott can help me out with this, the best female soccer player to ever come from St. Louis, Becky Sauerbrunn, who's in town with the U.S. national team. They're going to play Thursday night against New Zealand. It'll be their second-to-last game before they head to the World Cup, and for Becky, it's her third World Cup. And then Dr. Rick, who we had some phone issues with yesterday, is going to join us, we think, at 11:30. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Worldwide Technology Raceway. Please go to their website and find out about what they have in store this summer, including the Bomarito 500. All right, let's begin with lap one. Here is the stat. When a semifinal or final is tied at 1, the winner of Game 3 wins it 76% of the time. So if you win tonight, if the Blues win tonight, according to hockey history, they have a 76% chance of winning the series. But then again, the Blues are 3-4 at home. They're 6-2 on the road. They could lose tonight, win the next game, steal game five, and still win the series. So who knows? You know, Monday morning I had a really bad feel about this series, about just how good the Sharks are. And then the Monday night mojo changed everything. When you're getting game-winning goals from guys who have never scored in the postseason, well, you just have a good vibe, kind of a good feel. Yesterday we had on Mark Parrish. He's a former player, and he's now an analyst on NHL Tonight. And he just talked about the mojo of the St. Louis Blues.
I don't think the Blues have magic. I think they've got some kind of power, for crying out loud. That team is just a team of destiny right now. They remind me a ton of Vegas from last year, how they just find ways to win, and nobody can keep up with them when they're moving their feet.
Lap two. Worldwide Technology Raceway opening monologue. The coach. Well, think of the moves here. Juggling the lines, switching defensive pairings, the gut feel on who to dress and who to sit. And now he has to figure out the power play. 0 for 5 Monday, 0 for their last 18. Think about this. The last time the Blues have scored on the power play was Game 4 of the Stars series. So they are 2 for 28 in the postseason of the power play. Now, Chris Kerber, who you're going to hear from in about 15 minutes, is advocating the Al MacInnis strategy from his Calgary days in the power play.
I do think for that to work, Frank, the team has to change its philosophy completely on the power play. They have to go in and say, the power play is going to go through this guy. And I'm going to pull up Al MacInnis as an example here. When he was a rookie, and most of his time was on the power play, and it's Al that tells the story. They went into the power play meeting, and the coach said, the puck goes to him. He shoots it. If you want a power play goal, you get to the front of the net and you look for a rebound or you look for a deflection. If you don't want to get the puck to him to shoot it, then you won't be on the power play. That's the kind of change I think needs to happen on the power play if you're going to get Colton Parayko out.
Yes, and we are referring to Colton Parayko here, who, I don't know, there's some will tell you that they think he's the best defenseman on the Blues right now. He certainly has the most lethal shot, you know, from the point on the power play. So put him out there on the first unit, let him fire away. You know that Coach Berube has got to be making some type of adjustment on this power play. And maybe we'll know something from Chris Kerber coming up at 10:30. All right, lap three. The Cardinals are like the stock market, erratic as hell. And both the market and the Cardinals went nuts on Tuesday, May 14th.
And the 2-1 is hit out to deep left. It's at the wall. It is gone! Three-run homer. And Fowler hits one out to deep right. Goodbye, Dexter Fowler. Sends it in the air. Out to center. At the wall and gone. Yachty, he's got a double, and now a three-run blast to center. And Wong shoots it in the gap into deep right center, and that ball is gone. The Cardinals' fourth home run of the night. Three of the four have been three-run jacks.
Three-run homers tend to help. I was doing a big homer to get started, and love the fact that he's getting good competitive at bats throughout, and, you know, using the whole field, doing different things. Yachty, three-run homer to center, and Colton got into one as well, and Dex took some good swings, good at bats as well tonight.
So the offense, which has been crazy, I think in five of the seven preceding games heading into last night, they had scored one run or less. But I don't think the offense is going to be an issue. At the end of the year, there's going to be some massive numbers put up by these guys. I mean, don't you think that Paul Goldschmidt's going to hit 30 home runs? Don't you think that Paul DeJong is going to hit 25 with a suddenly, you know, rising on-base percentage? Marcelo Zuna, he's going to be in the 30s. Jose Martinez is going to hit 300. Yachty already has 30 RBIs. Dexter Fowler has a 421 on base percentage. And Colton Wong had two hits last night. His OBP is up to 360, even though he went through a slump. I mean, Matt Carpenter's the only issue right now. But, I mean, if you look at what he's done over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years, I don't think there's any real reason for concern. Like, last year at this time, he's hitting like 140. But, look, nobody thought Matt Carpenter would be hitting 201, you know, in mid-May. So he's got to pick it up. But bottom line is, the offense for the St. Louis Cardinals is going to be just fine. All right, lap four. The NBA draft lottery. Here's how it sounded at the end.
The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Wow.
Very disappointing, I think. I don't know, unless you're a fan of the New Orleans Pelicans, and I don't think there's many out there. So Anthony Davis wants out. Could the Lakers package their number four and some assets and still get Davis? Or is there a chance Davis says, on second thought, I'd like to play with Zion? I mean, New Orleans holds all the cards here. They don't have to trade Davis. And maybe they keep him for 4 or 5 months and see how this thing works. Could you imagine those two playing a two-man game? I mean, you could have Davis set that high screen and Zion so good with the ball. Oh, my goodness. And there's, you know, they still have Holiday there. So they got three pretty good players. I'd love to see it happen. But I will say this. If there's any player who looks like he is divorced from a team, and if there's any player or agent who handled the situation more awkwardly, I'd like to see it. I mean, that thing was just botched. A lot of bad blood. Now, I think it would have been nice to see Zion go to New York. And maybe KD and Kyrie join him, and they're the best team in the East right away. And they still could be if they get KD and Kyrie. I don't know. If he would have gone to Phoenix, it would have been a big three with Ayton and Booker. Dom was texting me when it got to the final four, and he said, Dad, if the Lakers get him, there should be some type of investigation. This thing is fixed. Thank goodness they didn't. But the Lakers really moved up a long way, and that does, you know, increase the value of a package they could put together. There are a lot of cool stories that have come out, that could come out from this lottery. Unfortunately, I don't think this is one of them. I would have liked to see him go to New York. 6'7", 284 pounds, and a 40-inch vertical jump. We simply have not seen many like him in sports history. You know what? I was listening to, I guess it was Colin Cowherd the other day, and he's saying, you know what? He's 6'6", and he's already battling weight issues. Who knows? This is a gamble. No, this is a freak in nature who does everything really, really well except shoot threes. And his form's not bad. His mechanics aren't bad. He may be okay from there. Matt, I'm sure you were watching last night. What's your takeaway from the NBA draft lottery?
Yeah, not probably ideal. Like you said, you know, nobody big is going to New York. But I'm kind of happy because I think we get two potentially great young two-man games. You mentioned Zion and AD. We saw what AD and DeMarcus Cousins were able to do running the pick and roll together, both being seven-footers. That was a lot of fun to watch. And also, I think Ja Morant, who's probably going to go number two, and Jaren Jackson Jr. in Memphis, they're going to be there for the next decade, and they're going to make a extremely deadly pick-and-roll combo. It's going to be fun to watch for a team that's usually pretty boring, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
They've been slow. They've been, you know, grinding it out. That's been their mantra. But now they have two young superstars in the lottery. And that's,
we are the St. Louis home of the Memphis Grizzlies, Rock. You watch your tongue.
Listen, I've called the Spurs boring, too. It's not an indictment of potentially winning basketball, but Gasol, Zach Randolph, it wasn't the exciting way that we've seen young teams go, but now they have Jaren Jackson Jr., and it's got to be like a 95% chance it's Morant. So.
Yeah, and now the next move will be to trade Mike Conley, and Mike Conley's a good player.
Yeah.
And
get some shooters around
those guys. Yeah, I hope they find a contending spot for him so he can win some games. All right. Let's see. Let's try lap five. The PGA Championship, it's coming up tomorrow. It was the sporting event of the year in our town in 2018. So we're particularly interested in the 2019 PGA Championship for a variety of reasons. And by the way, it's not like we had a lot to choose from last year. Cardinals and Blues were both playoffless. And Tiger's run was majestic. So now we have Bethpage Black. It seemingly has rained there like every day in the spring. All you get are reports about the course being long and wet, and it's cold too. So, you know what that means, is big hitters have the advantage. Tiger Woods, who hasn't played in 5 weeks, had these thoughts on the tourney.
Well, in order to win this one, driving is going to be at the forefront, even with the rough as lush as it is. It has grown up a little bit. I don't know how much they're going to cut it down or top it off, but it won't be much. So fairways are plenty wide because it's wet. It's just you got to hit it not only straight, but you got to hit it far because as the week goes on and the greens dry out, majority of the greens are elevated. And so trying to get enough spin hitting the ball up to elevation with the greens firming up, you have to be in the fairway to do that.
So who do you like? Well, if it's a major championship, Brooks Koepka must be discussed. That's what he does. He wins majors. I think it's three out of the last six. In contention, every one, too. He's unbelievable. But I will say this. Koepka's had some putting issues lately. How about the number one player in the world, Dustin Johnson? His length could play a big role here, and just like with Koepka, big hitters. What about the number two player in the world who was disappointing at the Masters, Justin Rose? I don't know. Golf is mainstream again. That's what I do know because Tiger Woods is back. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. I think this is the stat of the month, and Matt, you're going to get a kick out of this. I don't know if you've seen it. But now in the last 29 games that Steph Curry has played without Kevin Durant, the Warriors have won 28 of them. Is that insane? I'll tell you what was insane last night was Steph Curry. Oh, my goodness. Almost as amazing as Steph's range is the fact that he did get so many open looks. Now, he's great off the dribble. He can create his own shot. But how does a defender on the Portland Trailblazers, and I don't care if you're a big or not, but how do you allow yourself not to step out and try to contest the three? They'd set the screen, and Steph would have 4 feet.
Yeah, you could just tell the difference. You saw that the way that the Warriors with undersized bigs were blitzing Lillard out to the third, pretty much to like 24 feet almost, 25 feet, whereas the Blazers, knowing that Cantor and those guys aren't really fleet of foot, can't move with them, they were dropping them back, and the Warriors were just taking advantage of it. You can't get away with it. Dropping a guy's back in the pick and roll like that to contain a drive against the Warriors. You're just going to pull back and hit threes all day long.
I don't care how immobile Cantor is, and he's not completely immobile. You still have to step out. You can't give the man an open look. How about the Currys last night? They combined for 39 points, 36 for Steph and 3 for Seth. All right. Kevin Durant's likely going to be back. DeMarcus Cousins, maybe also. Portland's not beating Golden State, and neither is anybody else. He's just something special to watch. He's the best shooter in basketball history. Anybody argue with that? Steph Curry is the best shooter in basketball history. So we'll have Becky Sauerbrunn on a little bit later today. It's great to see her yesterday. The Ledoux grad doesn't age. She's going to turn 34, and yet next month, third World Cup. How about this, too? It's a Thursday night game at Busch Stadium, and over 30,000 tickets are already sold. And finally, I know this is old news, but I'm just getting through The Sopranos. I have about 5 or 6 episodes left. There are just some senseless beatings on that show. The fight between Tony and Bobby Bacala, and that was so disturbing. You know what I can't believe it is? My 5'4" Villa Duchenne grad wife, Monique, absolutely loves the series, and it's that violent. There's something wrong with that woman. Well, there obviously has to be if she married me. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear yours. Pick to click for the Blues. Who's the Blues hero tonight in Game 3? Will the Cardinals' offense be just fine? Is Steph Curry the greatest shooter ever? The NBA draft lottery, Zion to New Orleans. What do you think? We're broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's. Come on by, say hello. We'll be broadcasting till 3 o'clock. You could register to win Blues tickets. When we come back, we'll chat with Chris Kerber.